Hey, Stu.
Hello, Tom.
Tactical Fitness Report 106.
Yes, we are ready. And this is a classic. I love this one. It's a new classic.
It's a new classic.
I just came up with these rules.
Yes, it is. It's the new rules for fitness over 40.
Yeah.
So you have a whole series of new thinking, Stu, that you're bringing to this topic.
I am. You know what?
This is part of a program you built. It's a 52-week program. You've actually written four books on the subject, and they're dealing with a tactical fitness athlete who is over 40.
Yes,
and
you know what? It's really for anybody over 40. You know, yes, that still likes to get after it, because you know, if you have a fairly active lifestyle. But you know, the way this worked, Tom, if you're familiar with the story, is that I wrote this one first, right?
Yes.
This is basically my workout that I do that is pretty advanced comparatively, but it actually starts the process of these new rules that I have to adhere to, even though I'm an advanced, you know, level, you know, athlete, for lack of a better term. You know, I'm in that fitness genre. I still have these four rules to do, but you know, that was the first one. And then when I wrote that one, it was really popular, and I realized I was neglecting this, you know, 40 and over crowd. And so I came up with the prequel, right? The trilogy prequel. So it was the foundation building for the 40 and over who are banged up, you know, hurt beginners. If, you know, if you've been working hard and just neglecting your health, or you've been injured, recovering from that. And then we got taking it to the next level, kind of going from an intermediate to advanced. And then now you got the ready to compete.
Right?
And all those can be found on Amazon, but that's enough for the sales pitch. But you know, the four rules have been very helpful, not only for me, but for many people who have been training with me around here locally. You know, talking with people like yourself, you know, you get it. You know, there are differences that we have to do now than we did when we were in our teens and 20s and 30s, right? It just happens. It is just a process. And I think the sooner you realize that, and also realize that you don't have to stop, you know, you can still keep moving and still be at a very high level, the better. Right. So let's go through these new rules that I like to call them.
Yeah. I mean, I think the most interesting one was not most interesting, but the one that caught my attention the first was this: you can no longer outwork your diet.
Yeah. You know what? It doesn't matter. I mean, I work out pretty hard, right?
Yeah, I work out pretty hard,
a couple hours, and then I'm not necessarily sitting around all day. I mean, I do a couple hours worth of riding, but then I'm out doing something else, whether it's, you know, something physical in the yard work, walking the dogs. I go do another coaching session, you know, where I'm not quite working out that hard, but I'm up and around moving. So, you know, it just never fails. I cannot outwork what I eat if I'm not really watching what I eat.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I look at food now and I will gain weight, you know, whereas in my 20s, early and late teens, you know, I couldn't eat enough to gain a pound. You know, it was just, I don't know what it is, hard gainer, you call it whatever you want, just your metabolism's higher. It really comes down to one thing: portion control. And that's all it is. We all know what is good food and what is bad food. I don't need to tell you that a plate full of Twinkies is not as good as a plate full of broccoli, right? I'm not a nutritionist, but, you know, there are some obvious, you know, I am oversimplifying nutrition with that phrase, obviously. But, you know, for the most part, if you just know you're eating your fruits and vegetables, lean proteins, you know, you're going to have a good balanced meal. However, it doesn't matter if you like eating those healthy foods. If your portions are too big, your calorie intake is going to be big. Mm-hmm. And your lack of being able to burn off those calories is a big challenge, especially as we start to age. And where most people screw up, and is where I was screwing up for probably 4 or 5 years before I really caught it, believe it or not, was snacking. And it was healthy snacks too. It was nuts. It was peanut butter, right? And I actually gave up peanut butter. You know, I gave up peanut butter. I haven't had peanut butter in like, let me see, probably 4 months now.
Oh, I thought I was going to hear you say 6 hours because it's.
You know. I do love peanut butter, but and you know, it's just one of those things that I would take a spoonful in the morning, you know, after breakfast, you know, spoonful after lunch. I might get another one before the evening, and might even get another one before bed. But you know, but if you add that up, that's like 500 calories that I just put in my mouth that I am unable to burn that day, and I'm wondering why I'm not. I wasn't gaining weight. I just wasn't losing weight, and I was doing everything right. So I was it just equalized my calories in and calories out. Sometimes those snacks will do that to you. You might have everything dialed in with your meals to have a 400, 500, you know, caloric deficit at the end of the day, which by the end of the week, you'll probably lose a pound, you know, if you do that. But if you're snacking all these little 100-calorie snacks, next thing you know, you're breaking even. And you're never going to lose weight. So, you know, you have to dial it in. You have to really engage, you know, what you're eating. And all I did was, when I figured this out, and this is nothing I created, was I wrote down everything that I was eating. And within about a day and a half, I realized what I was doing wrong. Mm-hmm. Right. I could look at this list of food that I was eating and say, well, I don't need this. I don't need this. I don't need this. If I take that out, that's 600 calories in a day that I am not eating, and I'm not starving myself. You know, I'm just not being a glutton anymore, you know, taking all these snacks. So I'd replace it with water or replace it with, you know, another fruit or vegetable or something like that. It made all the difference.
Yeah. I tell you, this is something that's really, and it never gets better, right? Because you're in a slightly different age group than mine, right? You're the group right behind mine, and it just gets worse. It doesn't get any better. And I'm a very active person, and it never gets better. That process of having to watch how much you consume. I think the thing that's helped me recently, Stu, you know, you've had me focus a lot on this in the last few months to help me try to, get on the right path to get some of these things done. And it was to make sure that you hadn't said it exactly this way to me, but it was essentially this, that you said, make sure that what you are eating is good food,
right?
Because that causes you to snack less,
yes,
and eat less between meals, and that's really helped me actually. And what I've detected when I've had something, did it really satisfy my need, or was I hungry an hour and a half later? And I found that I've been able to adjust things so that I'm not feeling like I need to snack in the afternoon or in the late morning, because as you and I are both early morning people.
Yeah. You know, I've enjoyed this process too. And, you know, along this journey, since I wrote this first one, Tactical Fitness Over 40, when I really kind of discovered what I was doing wrong, have dropped about 25 pounds.
I mean, that's amazing.
You know? And I didn't have a whole lot of weight to lose other than, you know, just lifting bulk, you know, what was happening is, and you know, my cycle where, you know, I kind of periodize through the year, but during the winter, I don't run as much and I lift heavy, and those heavy lifts always made me gain weight. When I was in my 20s, I never gained a whole lot of weight. I just got stronger. But in my 30s, I started gaining weight, you know, with those lifts, and I could still burn it off during the spring and summer when I dropped the lifts and started running more. Right. In my 40s, I'd gain the weight, start running. Running hurt like hell because I was 10 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
And I never lost the weight. right? It just kind of kept coming and kept coming. I got bigger and stronger than I probably had ever been. You know that term old man strength?
Yeah.
You know, I was in it. I was in that zone. And and so what I did this winter was I dialed back the diet, and then two, I didn't lift as heavy. So instead of doing a lot of heavy lifts, I pulled the TRX out, did some weight vest calisthenics stuff, just pull back. And that helped a lot. I didn't gain 10 pounds this winter. So now I went into the spring even lighter, and that helped so much with, you know, continuing this process of gradual weight loss. And I am almost at my college bud's weight now, which was 30 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So now I am at like 203, 204 this morning, which I was at that weight when I was at Bud's, but my probably go-to weight, my best one I'm trying to get down to is 195. So I'm only like 8 pounds away now, and I'm feeling great. You know, workouts are going great. Pull-ups are easier. Running doesn't hurt. You know, and 2 years ago, running would just be so painful. Mm-hmm. You know, so anyway, I know we've kind of beat this one up a little bit, but that's what comes with learning how to not outwork your diet, you know, fine tune your diet so you can actually have that caloric deficit at the end of the day and start losing weight again. So,
The second rule you have, Stu, is about running every other day.
Yeah. And this one is relative, right? This one is relative to one, people who still run, and also people who don't run at all. Right. Because if you don't run at all, there's no real need to like start running every other day, especially if you're overweight and you're trying to lose weight. You know, stay in a non-impact zone until you start feeling a little bit better, and your knees will thank you for that tremendously. Right. But if you're in the zone of like, okay, I'm still fairly active, you know, 200, 210 pounds, and I'm still running a lot, consider running every other day and, you know, just building in some longevity into that process. And, you know, because I still like to run, but I run better if I run every other day, and the days in between are just non-impact options. So it's biking, it's elliptical, it's rowing, it's swimming. You know, you're still doing your cardiovascular activity. You're just, you know, moving it over a notch into the non-impact zone versus the, you know, impact of running every day. Now, the other one where it's relative is to the lighter guy over 40 who is still an avid runner, you know, runs on Masters Run Clubs and, you know, competes in, you know, races and marathons and stuff like that. Those guys, you know, are typically a little more built for the impact of running, you know, especially if they're like 150, 160 pound guys or women that are, you know, running, running as part of their cardiovascular activity, and lighter, you know, or lighter, you know, especially if you're a lighter woman, that, you know, you're probably not going to have the typical impact issues that a 200 pound person will have if they're trying to run every day. So that's, like I said, that one is one of those things that I'll give or take on some of those, you know, like, you know, if you're not really running a lot, you don't necessarily have to start just because I said run every other day, you know. And if you're running every day, you know, you don't have to stop just because I say run every other day. It just kind of depends on where you are. If you're starting to feel the aches and pains of running, run every other day, right? If it's really painful and potential surgery type painful, you know, you may want to stop running altogether and just focus more on non-impact activity. So,
you know, this is an interesting one, Stu, because for those, and you're obviously a lot of the people that are listening to your and watching your podcasts are they're tactically oriented, so they're used to having the ability to run as part of their repertoire of activities, right? I mean, you know, when you're in this phase, a lot of people, you need to have the ability to still run.
Absolutely. And you're probably going to get tested for it as part of your job. you know, yes. twice a year, once a year, you know, whatever your fitness test cycle is. I mean, that's part of your job. You're going to be running 1.5, 2 miles, 3 miles, you know, depending on your branch of service as well.
So I think figuring out how to be able to still do that at a competitive level, but not beat yourself up in the process of getting to that level is important. I mean, you and I both ran 6 days a week for a long time.
Yes. Right? Yes.
It's just most of us, and I'm physically bigger than you are, tall, even taller. And, you know, you cannot, as we've talked about probably ad nauseum now, you cannot, your body will not, it's my body's built pretty much the same as yours, the structurally, and the added size and mass that I have makes it hard on your body to keep doing that for years and years and years.
Absolutely. I mean, we are pretty much the same humans as we have been for however long we have been humans. You know, our knees have not necessarily evolved to be a 200-pound or a 300-pound person, right? Because when we first started out, we were probably a little tinier, you know, 150-pound people, right? Yeah. But we are growing. We're getting bigger. We get, you know, bigger muscle mass. We're living longer, you know. And, you know, all that time and weight and pressure, you know, puts, you know, is on our joints. You know, it's the same knee. Yeah. Right. So anyway,
Well, the other thing about this too, is Stu, you know, somebody like me or you, you know, we were trained to, the best way to deal with a fight is to run away with it and let your wife deal with it. So, you know, I think that I still need to be able to have that ability. I don't want to be just standing there and let her, I need to get out.
Yeah. You know what? I know that was a joke, but, you know, the rabbit survives, you know, his self-defense is run away, you know? So I tell people all the time, you know, don't neglect your running because it is a form of
You
know, self-preservation, you know, well, depending on what you're doing. It doesn't have to be running from a confrontation. It can be running from a forest fire, you know, or whatever, a volcano.
You got it. You got it. And it's the same reason why to this day I'm astounded that people get on public transportation with sandals. I just, to this day, it astounds, because people like you and I are trained for, what do you do when something goes wrong? And if you're on an airplane with shorts and a t-shirt on and sandals or flip-flops, and you have to do an emergency exit, you're going to get banged up. You know it.
Yeah, you're going to hurt your feet.
Yeah, and your body in general.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's not part of the over 40 new rules, Stu.
Yeah.
But one is the next one is adding a mobility day. And it was funny because you and I talk about this a lot these days. And we were actually talking about this as the sun was rising in the background here in Phoenix.
They're heavenly. They are absolutely heavenly. And I've been doing them since I was 40. I didn't start writing about them until I was about 45. And I've been writing about them probably now for the last 3 or 4 years. Start off in articles. I started implementing them in books. In fact, these books have a mandatory mobility day in them every week. And some weeks I had a second mobility day, and I did one last week. I was just feeling run down. I had some travel that I had done, a couple of different places, long days of work. And then I came home. I was exhausted. And just did a mobility day at the beginning of the week instead of in the middle of the week. And then another one then later on in the week. And then the following week, I was so much better. I mean, I was able to just hit everything just as hard as I've always been, hanging with 22-year-olds, you know, doing the workouts. Felt I was running faster. I mean, everything just clicked for me this week. But it was because, you know, I'm a firm believer is I got good night sleeps and – you know, did those mobility days instead of crushing myself.
Yeah. And you mentioned to me this morning that when you did that 2 weeks ago, they were not planned days. They were, you do have in your mind, you are going to do mobility day, but you choose it based on how you feel. So take a moment and describe that one.
Yeah. Usually by Wednesday or Thursday, I could do a hard workout. However, I know that if I do that hard workout on Wednesday or Thursday, that my Friday and Saturday workouts are going to suffer. So what I can do is I can opt for a mobility day. Let's say I just do it on Thursday, right? So I have good hard workouts Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right? On Thursday, I have a mobility day because I know if I did a fourth hard workout, my Friday and Saturday workouts would stink. But yeah. By doing this easy day, and it's not, you know, it's still an hour and a half worth of activity, but everything I do when I leave there, nothing hurts.
Yeah.
You know, I am non-impact cardio. I'm stretching. I'm foam rolling. I'm using my car buffer, you know, my Ryobi car buffer to massage some sore muscles and joints. And then I go in the pool. I swim. I tread water. I do, you know, all the dynamic stretches and chest deep water, you know, which is basically like water aerobics. You know, you might make fun of people who are doing water aerobics, but I'm telling you, it is awesome, right? It really works. But if you're doing your dynamic stretches, you know, in chest deep water, you're going to feel the difference. And then I go out, I'm walking out to my car, and I just realize that nothing hurts. I'm wide awake. I'm fully functional. My brain is on, ready to go to work, but nothing hurts at all. And that's why I love these mobility days, and I add those in there. And what that allows me to do is on Friday and Saturday, which, you know, I normally start feeling the funk of the week, you know, I no longer feel that. It's almost like I'm starting all over again on a Monday, and I got two good workouts coming in on Friday and Saturday. Makes a big difference, you know, as opposed to like starting high and finishing low. You know, I'm starting high, staying high, drop it down a notch, and then I'm back up to where I am. So instead of, you know, losing, you know, progress and performance by the end of the week, it's actually able to maintain it at that same level as earlier of the week. So, and then I rest on Sunday completely. And that has been my thing I've been doing now for over 20 years.
Yeah. I think the probably the important concept there is there's a difference between training and maintaining. So when you've got your audience of folks who are training to be a tactical athlete, you have them approach the world in a certain way. But if you are a tactical athlete, you have to maintain. For example, on Saturday mornings, you, depending on the time of year, you could be at the academy training people, you could be having a funky thing you're doing. Like even last Sunday, you were telling me that we were supposed to do the podcast, but you ended up having this land navigation thing.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome. Right?
Yeah. Because you're always doing you can't afford to be at home with a back injury.
Yes. Yeah. You know, that's a really good point, because if you're training to become a tactical athlete, there is a progression of activity that needs to occur. You need to go from whatever athlete you are now into a better athlete here to handle and endure your future selection program. Right. Well, if you're already in that zone, you're already active duty anything. Right. Now it is maintaining your fitness to, you know, be able to do your job without injury and do it effectively, you know, because the big thing about, you know, once you get to that phase three of tactical fitness, which is the active duty style of tactical fitness, it is, you know, your fitness level can one day be the difference between life or death.
Yes.
Does it necessarily mean life or death for you? It could be your buddy. It could be someone you're trying to save, you know, depending on your job. But yeah, it's that serious. And I think, you know, once you get to that active duty level, you know, it's sometimes easy to get complacent with your fitness, but getting to that level, also, you can't be complacent with it, because you're never going to get to that active duty goal that you're shooting for, you know, if you are not making these progressions, you know, and realizing, you know, what motivates you to go train is that serious. You know, your fitness is really life or death. You know, this isn't win or lose playing a game like a regular sports athlete. This is tactical athletes live or die. you know, that is where fitness comes in with tactical fitness.
And I think the thing that got across to me when you started talking with me about this concept is that in the past, we would take a day off or 2 days off. And I think your recommendation, and correct me if I'm wrong, Stu, but I think your recommendation now is no. Find a way, instead of taking a day or 2 days off, find a way of using mobility.
Yes.
To keep you going. And so the way I've thought about it is that you're giving me permission to do a mobility workout on a day when I feel like I'd be better off doing that than doing the standard workout that you designed for me.
Yes. And it becomes a habit too. I've been doing it for 4 years now. When I turned 45 is when I started it. And I have found this. I have found that by Wednesday night,
yeah,
right, I'm thinking about, hey, what we're going to do for the workout. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's mobility day, right? And it completely changes my attitude of, like, I better go to sleep right now. You know, it's going to be a hard day tomorrow. You know, I know it's going to be an easy day. So it's almost just everything just kind of relaxes. And I'm like, oh, okay, it's an easy day tomorrow. I'm looking forward to this, you know, and I'm, you know, I don't have to necessarily almost get my mind right for the event. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
you know, 'cause there comes a form of psychological challenge that goes into waking up early in the morning and going working out. And you start feeling that night before you go to bed, right? And it's a little bit of a pressure, and it's a little demon inside your head fighting you to say, oh, don't worry about it, stay in bed. You know, it's that inside head, you know, part of your head's telling you to not do it. But, you know, that's when, you know, your motivation, obviously you're not motivated every day to wake up and go work out, but your discipline gets you through it. And I think that's where mental toughness kind of evolves through. Yeah. You know, it all comes from motivation and discipline. And then eventually one day you've created all these habits of performance, and that is your form of mental toughness, you know, to a degree.
Yeah. So, and I think,
but I don't feel like I have to execute it. You know, I'm like, I'm looking forward to this easy day, and I just breathe deeply and just relax.
And it's also a day where you can do the things you like. You know, I mean, as you know, I like TRX, and because it's functional, and so I throw in TRX activities into the day, into a mobility day.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, it's fun to do that. You like your car buffer and that kind of stuff, but you keep yourself going. So it's almost like you give yourself permission to do a mobility day.
It's the best thing. I know we kind of beat up on this rule a little bit, but I will say that it's really good. If you want to see a little more details of what mobility day is, I've written a couple articles on it. You can Google mobility day Stu Smith, you know, on Google. You could also just do this. Pick 5 minutes of your favorite non-impact activity, bike, elliptical, row, swim. Yeah. I've done them all. And then you do 5 minutes of foam rolling or stretching. I tend to add in a third option now with this new car buffer that I've purchased. That's just so much fun. It's just a massage tool. So foam rolling, stretching, massage tool, right? And there's a variety of different things you can do. 5 minutes of that. You repeat that cycle, 5 minutes of cardio, 5 minutes of stretching, foam rolling, 5 times. So it's a 50-minute workout. Then you go into a pool, if you have a pool, or you're done. You can be done at that 50-minute mark too. Then I go into a pool. I tread water for 10 minutes and a variety of things. I use just my hands to loosen up my shoulders. I use just my legs to loosen up my hips and knees, variety of kicks, variety of arm movements. And then I swim for 10 minutes just to kind of loosen things up. And then I do all my dynamic stretches that I did before the workout in chest deep water. Leg swings, butt kickers, hip openers, bounding, you know, Frankenstein walks, you name it, you know, side to sides. And I'm telling you, just like I started off with the word heavenly, it is truly a such a great workout when you leave there and you feel no pain. And that is a great goal when you leave a workout, when you're not feeling tired, you're not feeling in pain, you know, you're fully engaged in the day. And it's, like I said, it's something special. I don't mind doing them twice a week now, because I just enjoy. And I think maybe that's going to be part of the tactical fitness over 50. You got to do mobility day twice a week, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And the final piece of advice that you give on this is get yourself lighter.
Yeah, it really does help. And I mean, if you look at old people, right? And I'm talking old people, not you. I'm talking about old people in their 90s, in their hundreds, you know, and they're still actively engaged with living, right? They are light people.
Yeah, they are.
Very light people. 160, 170 pound men, you know, 100 pound women. You know, I don't think I'm ever going to see 170 again. But, you know, I think if I can keep myself under 200, you know, for at least a good chunk of the rest of my life, I think I'm going to be healthier for it. You know, and you just feel better, you know, everything's easier, you know, because 195, the difference between 195 and 225 is a 30 pound weight vest, you know, and just put on a 30 pound weight vest and walk around everywhere and you see what you're missing, right? You see what you were missing when you were at 225. I mean, because, I mean, it is really tough to walk up and down steps all day, you know, or just walking to and from, or getting up out of a chair with a 30 pound weight vest on. You know, imagine what I'm doing now. You know, I'm about 25 from that. So anyway, when I get 195 and for my highest, which was 225, you know, that makes a big difference in how everything feels. You know, yeah. Your calisthenics are easier, your running's easier, moving around's easier. And you know what is also even better? All my blood work is better.
You mentioned
when,
that.
When I go through my blood test, get my annual physicals, cholesterols, blood pressure, triglycerides, all knocked down significantly just because I dropped 20 pounds.
You know, Stu, you and I were talking about this a little bit ago, about the fact that you've recognized in fitness that there's a second phase of fitness.
That's a good term to call it. You know, when I talk about tactical fitness, you know, I talk about three phases of fitness. So there's like two, the training, you got to, you know, pass the fitness test. You got to get through the training, you know, which is, you know, the selection and the academies and boot camps. And then there's the active duty fitness. But this is kind of a little bit different what we're talking about here. You know, this is, you know, this 40 and over is almost like a second tier of fitness. You know, there, you can still be very active, but there are some caveats, right?
Yeah. So, you and I, we were talking about this, that when I think about this world, I've been thinking about that my life is really what I call three arcs. It has three arcs to it. The first arc was when I was growing up and into my 30-year-old time. Then there's the 30 to 60, and then there's the 60 to 90, because I think almost all of us, you know, and you're a generation behind me, so you probably lived to be probably 100 as opposed to me into my 90s. My father lived to be into his mid-90s, so I have a pretty good chance of doing that. And so when you sit there and you think about that, the tactical athlete is going to be probably active into that second arc, you know, at least halfway through, if not near the end of that second arc.
Yeah.
But you have another arc. You have another whole life arc.
I know. I know. Yeah, we're not even tapping into the second half of life here.
No. And the point that, you know, I make to people, and I was having this discussion last night with a friend of mine, and then you this morning before we started, was that I very deliberately saw that I had this third arc to my life that was going to be the third piece. And I thought, okay, well, there are really only two professions. One is you can either be a symphony conductor or you can be a a college professor. I chose college professor. You reminded me that there actually is a third one called politician.
Yeah, they need to retire when they're...
Were you? Yeah, that's a different issue. Yeah. But but anyway, but the point was that fitness has the same issue. And if you're in that, when you're in that second phase, you're in that functionally tactical athlete, so you're in the 40 range, it's really important to be able to maintain that. But the things that you used to get you through that first arc are not the things you use to keep you going in that second arc. And then there's a whole nother group, that third arc, we haven't even really explored that one in depth. I mean, you're doing it with me, but
right.
But there's another aspect to this. And so I think it's almost, and I'm going to go out on a limb here and let you tell me if I've got this right, but I don't think it's a good idea for somebody midway through this second arc. So let's say you're in your 50s and you're a tactical athlete today, and you say, oh, you know what? I'm going to pick up 12 weeks to Buds and start doing those workouts dead cold from the beginning all the way through as a challenge.
Right. Yeah, you know what? That would be more first arc level material. You're very right about that. You know, you could do it, make modifications. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, this book here is not a personalized program for you. Mm-hmm. You know, every book that you see is not a personalized training program. So you're going to have to make alterations. Sometimes you're going to have to add more swimming. You're going to have to take away from the running. You're going to have to add more reps depending on your abilities. You know, you may have to cut everything in half just because it's way too hard, you know? So yeah, I would agree with that 100%. You know, I personally think where we are on this new rules over 40, I think it covers pretty comprehensively that second arc.
Yes.
You know, with the third arc, it's everything that we just discussed plus.
Yes.
You know, and I think you may have to, you know, eventually take out your running and maybe replace with yoga, you know, or, yep. You know, I kind of foresee myself doing, we have this one guy who's, you know, a little bit older than you that comes in, old Naval Academy guy, old pilot. And, he will swim with us, you know, at 7 a.m. But from 6 to 7, he is doing all yoga classes.
Really?
Right. Yeah. He's doing like an hour worth of yoga, and then he does swimming with us. And he is in awesome shape. I mean, he still has abs and, you know, muscle definition and everything. He's killer shape. I'm like, all right, you've just given me hope for my 70s. Right. And, you know, so, you know, I think there's some things that, you know, have to be considered, you know, to a different level on that tier three, you know, like we were talking about, because, you know, that third arc, you know, may require some, still, you want to challenge yourself, but you may want to be a little more delicate about it.
So. Yeah. And so the thing that's interesting about this, and you've done a really good job of even in your construction of this for the people that you help in that first arc of, you know, you're 30 or you're under 30, you want to get to one of these tactical positions. How do you do that? The two through and you know, the maintenance after that. And then there's the group now that is in that second arc in their 30 to 60, where they're in their high productivity arc.
Yeah.
Where they're out there doing those jobs left and right. And there are many times the leadership group, and they're fighting that difference between sometimes being in a responsible position of leadership, sometimes the doing.
Yeah.
That's really hard to maintain your level of fitness at the appropriate levels. But how do you do that, and how do you maintain that still, that vitality of being able to at any moment do that tactical job? And then there's that third arc that I think you and I need to spend a lot more time thinking about is,
sure,
what does that mean? Because you, being physically capable during that third arc, when you're now looking at maybe you're 5 years away from retiring and from the position, not from life and not from doing, right, and not, but what are you going to do with yourself for those next 30 years? And then how do you maintain a level of capability, physical capability that keeps you feeling vital.
And also enables you to be productive.
Yes.
You know, you may still want to produce an income at yes. that age. You know, you may not want to actually retire from working. You may come up with a whole different level of, you know, income for yourself that requires you to get up every day.
To. Yeah. Or you may have to.
Yeah.
And that's the even worse part. Is what if you're stuck there and you now have to continue on, and you have to be able to be maintaining that functional capability.
Yeah.
Thinking that through. So you know, we've talked a lot about this, Stu, this whole thing of new way of thinking about the tactical fitness world when you're in that 40-year-old age group and over, and how do you maintain your capability during that? And those rules are really cool. So why don't you go back through them just really quickly?
Yeah, first rule is you can't outwork your diet. You know, portion control, number one, I think is the most important. Two, if you run every day, consider running every other day, right? Just to save your knees. You know, your knees will get banged up. And now if you're a competitive runner, obviously, you know, you can listen to that as you wish. Third one is gotta mobility. Help me. Mobility day, of course. Yeah, yeah. Add the mobility day, and those speak for themselves. You just gotta try. Try one, you know. Just try it. You know, when you just do it for a workout and entertain me, right? And let me know.
The overall concept too is get yourself lighter.
Yeah, and then lose some weight.
It'll just help you in all ways, yeah. And it's and that goes with number one. All right, buddy. Well, we've kind of nailed this one to the floor.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, beat this one down. Four rules, but they're important. You know, it's not only the four rules over 40, but, you know, there may be six rules that are going to be for you over 60.
Absolutely.
You know, but these, if you handle these, you get a hold of these now, and it's just going to make the 60s a lot better. You know, it's hard to be a tough, in-shape guy in your 60s and 70s if you haven't built that foundation now. You know, so... Don't beat yourself up so much that you got nothing left after 50. You know.
All right, pal.
Be smart.
Well, yeah. Tactical Fitness Report with Stu Smith, number 106.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome. Later, pal.
See ya.